Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Journey We Are Not Alone with your host, Lady Z, and Miss Gigi Adams. We thank you all for the continued... Hey there, Miss Gigi. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. It's been a week, but I'm good.
All righty.
How are you feeling?
I'm great. And you're doing better with your poison oak?
Sure, it's kind of going away. I have spots, but at least there's no new ones popping up. So I guess that's a plus, right?
That's a plus. No itch, just spots. They'll go away.
Yeah, eventually. Either that or I can walk around looking like a leopard and totally fit in with the wildlife.
Well, you've got blonde hair, so it kind of gives you a different look.
You know, camouflage.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to thank everybody out there, especially the organizations and programs that have reached out to Gigi and I and take part in this journey with us. Okay. I want to thank everyone who reaches out to me about the show afterwards to tell me how the show has reached them. We are reaching many people in different ways, and this is our goal. Tonight, to be honest, I will probably need more support than ever. This show is a very hard one for me. After last week's show, it was so hard for me to go forward with this story. I've had a very hard week. Like Miss Gigi said, I've not been feeling well since I got the poison oak. My anxiety has been so heightened thinking about the parts of the story I am about to go through. Honestly, the next few traumas I endured were only known by one person, only known by Stella. The traumas are the reason why Stella was the only person that was allowed to go to court with me, because this stuff would have killed my family. Good friends will match your pace. They will slow down and speed up depending where you are, both mentally and physically. Stella, she is a great friend who was by my side no matter what my pace was. Now, I know I have family that listens to the show to gain support and some understanding on the narcissistic relationship. Tonight, it is going to be a very hard story for me to tell. I still, to this day, can never understand why this happened to me. How did it happen? I found an article that talked about just the entities of life, and they said that the only entities on Earth that behave strictly to the rules of logic are calculators and computers. The rest of the people and things are largely irrational. So there are no set rules when it comes to people. Everybody is different. However, you need to acknowledge the difference and seek out the hearts that are like yours. I will never understand the vicious heart because my heart is so different. Please, I would like to start this show out by enjoying Never Be the Same by Camila Cabello.
And all the lines you want to change. Let me see.
So welcome back. Now, I just want to start by saying that I knew when I started this story where my journey was going to take us. But over the last 2 weeks, I have been considering taking some time off. I did not know if I was ready for the topic I'm about to speak about. This week, I was struggling very hard, and I was completely vulnerable. I had this horrible migraine that increased throughout the week. By Thursday, I couldn't get out of bed because my headache was so bad. I found myself just wishing that I had someone to take care of me, someone to take care of the kids, just someone to hug me. Then I thought about some of my anxiety within, you know, the upcoming shows. I thought about how I was scared, how I was embarrassed, and how I was mad that this was coming next. Why would I want anybody with I endured was not inflicted by my narc. It was inflicted by a friend. I knew I had to go forward with this week's show because I was becoming physically and mentally weak. Yes, I was sick with the poison oak, like Miss Gigi said. I got bit by a bug that I had a horrible allergic reaction to. And I was struggling being alone. School went back full time this week, and so my tutoring built back up and started full time. But when I thought about a lot of the anxiety, it had to do with myself remembering what happened, remembering what I had to share this week. I went back in letters that I had wrote, and I felt the pain just rush right through my body. I can tell you this definitely contributed to the headaches. Maybe they were even the cause of them. As I read what I wrote, I swear to you, I went back in time and those horrible thoughts and feelings rush right back. I thought that I was over this, but I have done nothing but push it down and try to bury it. The next few months, I endured trauma that I have let tear me apart inside, and as scared as I am to share these stories because of the horrific nature, I need to free myself of these demons. I understand that what I'm about to tell you was beyond my control, but sometimes I think back to this time and think maybe these things happened because something I did or did not do. I've tried to let go and never bring them up again. I say that I've accepted these things, but I haven't. I know I haven't. I say I've forgiven, and I thought I moved on. They are situations I wish never to release the anger that has continued to build inside of me for the past 2.5 years. Tonight, we'll be talking about sexual abuse. Sexual abuse can be a form of physical abuse, but it's in a category by itself because it can include physical abuse and non-physical components. It can involve rape or other forced sexual acts, withholding sex and using it as a weapon. Your abusive partner might use sex to criticize you and say that you're not good at sex, or they can tell you the complete opposite, that that's the only thing you're good for. Now, just the fact, it wasn't until 1993 that marital rape was illegal in all 50 states. So some people may still assume that sex is something a partner is entitled to and does not see the larger picture of the power and the control. Physical, mental, sexual, and reproductive health effects have been linked with sexual intimate partner violence. This includes adolescent pregnancy, an unintended pregnancy, miscarriage, stillbirth, intrauterine hemorrhage, nutritional deficiency, abdominal pain, and other gastrointestinal problems. There are neurological disorders, chronic pain, disability, anxiety, and PTSD, as well as non-communicable diseases such as hypertension, cancer, and cardiovascular diseases that are all related to sexual abuse. Women who are abused by their intimate partners are more vulnerable to contracting HIV or other STIs due to forced intercourse or prolonged exposure to stress. Now, some statistics. More than half female victims, 51.1%, and 52.4% of male victims of rape were raped by an intimate partner. 40.8% of females and 15.1% of male rape victims. One in five women, which is 18.3%, and one in 71 men, which is 1.4%, have been raped at some point in their lives. This includes both successful and attempted rapes, because successful rapes can be just as traumatizing as non-successful but attempted rapes. About 13% of women and 6% of men have experienced sexual coercion at some point. 27.2% of women and 11.7% of men have experienced unwanted sexual contact. About 79.6% of females that are subject to pleaded rape experienced their first rape before the age of 25. And 42.2% experienced their first completed rape before the age of 18. My first completed rape was when I was 16. 27.8% of male victims that are subject to completed rape were when they were 10 or younger. Approximately 25.5 million women and 2.8 million men in the United States have reported a complete or an attempted rape. The study showed that on average in the United States, there are 133,648 sexual assaults each year on people ages 12 and older. In the United States, Alaska has the highest rape rate. In the world, South Africa has the highest rape rate. Data from the National Survey of Adolescents indicated that only 14.3% of rapes were actually reported, and somewhere between 14 and 32% are never reported. Across all ages, only 23% of sexual assaults are reported. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about the sexual violence myths and facts. I am going to release what happened to me. I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to accept it. I will not hide and I will not hide and repress it anymore, because the more I do that, the more damage it causes than I even realize. So for our next song, I would like you to enjoy Tupac, Changes. Thank you. So, oh, sorry. Welcome back. And I'm going to tell everybody, this is a very hard show for me to do, honestly. I know I probably sound like a mess, and it is what it is. I'm going out there to show everybody that it is okay to be like this. Everybody is that has endured this, and it is part of growing, and it is part of letting it go. So please bear with me. When trying to understand sexual violence, we do need to talk about things that are myth and things that are fact, because a lot of people believe one way and it is completely the opposite of what it is. So one of the myths, ready? Sexual assault is an act of lust and passion that can't be controlled. The fact is that sexual assault is about power and control and is not motivated by sexual gratification. Myth. If a victim of sexual assault does not fight back, they must have thought the assault was not that bad or that they wanted it. Fact. Many survivors experience tonic immobility. This means they have a freeze response during an assault where they physically cannot move or speak. Myth. A lot of victims lie about being raped or give false reports. The fact is that only 2 to 8% of rapes are falsely reported, the same percentage as for any other felony. Myth, a person cannot sexually assault their partner or spouse. The fact, nearly 1 in 10 women have experienced rape by an intimate partner in their lifetime. Sexual assaults most often occur in public or outdoors. The fact is, 55% of rape or sexual assault occurs near or in the victim's home, and 12% occur at or near the victim's friend's home, relative, or acquaintance. Myth, rape does not happen that often. Fact. There are 1 sexual assault committed every about 2 minutes, they're saying. It's a little bit less than 2 minutes. People that have been sexually assaulted will be hysterical and crying. Fact, everyone responds differently to trauma. Some may laugh, some may cry, and others won't show any emotion. Now, me, I'm sitting here and I'm telling you and I'm trying to be as strong as I can. And for the longest time, I did not cry about this. I pushed it down and I was silent, but it still happened. Myth, men are not victims of sexual violence. The fact, 1.5% of all men have been raped and 47% of bisexual men have experienced some form of unwanted sexual contact in their lifetime. Wearing revealing clothing, behaving provocatively, or drinking a lot means the victim was asking for it. Just before I go into the fact of that, look, I know that I have an okay body where I can wear certain things. Just because I wear short shorts or a crop top or a short dress does not mean that I am inviting anybody in to do this to me. It's just, don't tell me what I'm wearing allows you to sexually assault me. The fact is that it has nothing to do with that. The perpetrator selects the victim, but not by their behavior or clothing choice. They mean nothing. They are consenting to sexual activity because that's what they want. Myth. If a parent teaches a child to stay away from strangers, they won't get raped. Fact, 60% of child sexual abuse cases are perpetrated by someone the child knows outside of the family. And 30% are assaulted by family members themselves. Myth, being sexually assaulted by someone of the same gender can make a person gay or lesbian. A lot of people hide behind this because they think that they were raped by, if they're a man, they were raped by another man, this initially makes them gay and all of that. But the fact is the assault is typically not based on the sexual preference of the victim or the rapist, and therefore does not necessarily change the victim's sexual orientation. Myth: people with disabilities are at low risk for sexual assault. I taught students with disabilities for years, and I'll tell you this, it's a fact that people with disabilities are victims of sexual assault twice as much as people without disabilities. Myth: they're selling sex. However, the fact is prostitutes have the right to give and withhold consent to any sexual activity and therefore can be raped just like anyone else. Myth: getting help is expensive for survivors of assault. The fact is services such as counseling and advocacy are offered for free or at low cost by sexual assault service providers. And this is like what I've been pushing, those organizations that we're working with, like Life Circles and the Homeless Mission. They do not cost you anything, but they enable you to reach out and get help. They are not expensive, but they still can help you. So another myth would be, there is nothing we can do to prevent sexual violence. The fact is that there are many ways we can help prevent it, including intervening as a bystander to protect someone who may be at risk. So I'm just going to start with where my nightmare started. My narc, like I explained, had been gone. He left on January 2nd, and he was gone for about a week, a little bit more. When he came back to the house, he was high again. It was almost like the new normal. He came back high. We would fight. He would try to make me sound and look crazy because of the way I reacted. And, of course, he would deny, deny, deny. After arguing with him for a day or so when he came back, and he made me feel like I was crazy, he freaked out. He went nuts. He had these evil eyes, and the things he was saying was so vile. I'm not ready to repeat those words he said to me. They were so horrible. He called me a name that it's the C word, and I'm sorry, you will not ever hear me say that word. I just cannot bring myself to it, but I was called that over and over. He just kept coming at me all crazy and picking fights that night, demeaning me, making me feel horrible, and I knew he was on drugs. Finally, he broke me. I was throwing up. I remember holding on to that toilet because I couldn't stop throwing up, and I couldn't even catch a breath. At this point, he's in the bathroom, and he tells me, yeah, I've been getting high. I like to get high. It doesn't mean I have a problem. I can walk away at any time. I just like to party once in a while, and I'm sorry if that hurts you. I remember looking up at him as he's standing there, looking in the mirror, fixing his goatee all perfect, as he gave me this half-assed, I'm sorry you're hurt, but it doesn't matter. He told me that if I didn't like it, it wasn't going to stop him from having a good time when he wanted. I tried to explain to him that he was so erratic and crazy when he was on the drugs. I told him he scared me. I could not stop crying. Those damn drugs, let me tell you. And I try to hold my words here because they destroyed me. Finally, he sat down next to me and he started holding me and rubbed my back. Now, like I said, in relationships like this, yeah, there's evil, but they put on that front of being that person that you need and supporting you and consoling you. They don't mean it. So it's not all bad times. They do show you some type of love. He told me at this point everything was going to be all right and to calm down. He held me. And at that minute, that is exactly what I thought I needed. He asked me to go out to dinner at that point because he felt bad. I was so upset. I didn't want to go, but I agreed and I went anyways. We went to Longhorn. As I sat there and he was ordering food, I kept thinking, well, he must be done with the drugs because he doesn't eat if he's doing them. I thought that maybe he had seen me upset, as bad as I was and as sick as I was, and realized what he was doing to me. Yeah, right, okay? I should have listened to the words he was saying out of his mouth instead of fabricating what I wanted to hear. He said, if I didn't like it, he didn't care, and he was still going to party when he wanted. But somewhere in my head, I had fabricated that everything was going to be okay, and that meant no more drugs. While we were at dinner, I told him how I cannot change what I have told him. I cannot have my son around him like this, and absolutely not a newborn. He sat there, and as he ate his salad like he was listening, he didn't, and he didn't care. I kept trying to change the subject, asking about how the last week was, or he was asking me how my son was doing at school, and he started to talk about us finding a bigger house. I sat there, and all I could think about is how sick I was over these drugs and the betrayal. I was not hungry. I pushed my food around the plate more than I actually ate it. We went home, and guess what? He actually hugged me that night all the way until I fell asleep. I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was really going to change this time. We always think they are going to change because we want to believe in the good. The next day, my son was coming home from his father. When I woke up, my narc was gone. He wasn't in the bed, he wasn't in the house, and his truck was gone. Since I had to go pick him up in my narc, asking where he was and telling him I was about to leave, he gave some weird response, so I asked him to promise me he wouldn't do drugs. I thought we overcame this hurdle the night prior. When I asked him, he said no. No? What do you mean no? He said no. I told him that if he was high, I would not bring my son back to that house. When he started to curse and call me the name, I knew he was already high. I went and picked up my son with the puppy that we had, and we went to one of my friend's houses and play at his friend's, and he didn't know anything was wrong. So to me, it was cool. I always tried to shield this little boy the best I could throughout this horrible relationship. So we were at my friend's for a few hours when my narc started texting me that he needed me home. I hadn't spoke to him since the cursing and name calling, but he kept insisting that he needed me. I wanted to be there because that's the empath part of me. If he really needed me, if something was really wrong, I couldn't just let this be. But the smarter person inside of me knew that it wasn't that he needed me. He just wanted the control back. I told my friend I wanted to go back to told him that. She knew what was going on, and she knew that I didn't want to bring my son because I didn't know what I was walking into. She told me to go, and if he was on drugs, to pack up and just stay the night there. I thought, okay, I could turn this into something positive. If he's doing drugs and I can't go back there, it's my son's first sleepover. So how fun, right? So I go back to my house, and he is high. He needed me because he wanted to cuddle on the couch. When I confronted him about being high and reminded him about the conversation about the kids and his erratic behavior on drugs, he got in my face, and those eyes came out. They were big, black holes. He was much taller than me, so when he got in my face, he would tower over me. I didn't even get clothes that night because he was getting so violent and out of control. I had to get out of that house as quick as I could and get back to my friends before something really bad happened. At that point, I promised myself I would not go back until he was packed and gone. I could not deal with the drugs anymore. From him and the danger of him on drugs, only to be sexually assaulted by my friend's husband. As we go on our next break, I would like you to enjoy Hard Place by Her.
But I hate you almost dead. You've been testing my patience. And you know that I be headstrong. But you know that you be dead wrong. Telling me to relax, I'm relaxed.
Back, and I believe before we continue, Miss Gigi has some ads she'd like to put in.
Yes, I would. I would like to add some ads right quickly, if I may. And I also like to commend you on your show, which shows Zena. Very good, very interesting. Hello, ladies and
gentlemen.
Thank you. This is Gigi Adams. You're welcome. This is Gigi Adams, and you're listening to The Journey. We are not alone, featuring Lady Z, radio host, and myself. As to Rebecca, director, creator, I'd like to give you the number 516-418-5773. I'd like to also go ahead and give you the information that we have. The first one would be Ashley Cooper. Ms. Ashley Cooper has essential oils that are aromatic. Let me get my paper back up 1 second. I do apologize. Okay. She has essential oils that are aromatic, concentrated, made from concentrated plant extracts. Miss Ashley has a variation of different oils that will soothe the body, and they're carefully obtained through steam, through steam and other processes. If you would like to go ahead and click on the link I have right here for you, it's Ashley Cooper. It's Ashley, A-S-H. It's at Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E dot love dot coop, C-O-O-P. She has some very unique oils. And again, I'd like to ask you to go ahead and support her if you could, because these oils, the cold pressing, they're resin tapping. She said we offer essential oils and blends and oil infused products with the optimal levels of specific naturally occurring essential oils. What better way can you get that than to get the natural occurrences to put to your body and using maximum potency that they have? So go again here to Miss Ashley Cooper at ashley.love.coop. Also, Wise Mind Institute with Dr. Johnson S. T. Lawrence Jr., wisemindinstitute.org. The essential oils I just told you about was Miss Ashley Cooper, A-S-H-L-E-E, Equanimity Spa. She makes also body oils, and you can find her on Instagram at Equanimity Spa, Spa, S-P-A. And also to give a shout out to my friend Dino Sons, who has just created another book. You go to go to Amazon.com and look up Dino Sands, D-E-N-O-S-A-N-D-Z. Back to you, Zena.
Okay. Now, Miss Gigi, just before we start again, I want to say that I get that you said you're a backup and you're my director and all that, but please know, everybody, I want everybody to know that she is my whole support that keeps me going, okay? When I don't think I can continue, I can call Gigi, and she has the words that keeps me going, and she has the words that push me through. So, Gigi, I just want to thank you. You are by far not a backup. You are what keeps this going. You are the one that pushes me to tell the truth, and it's okay. Thank you very much, and please know that I am eternally grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Lady Z. I really am impressed with how you have come over the obstacles that you had so far, and your strength and your courage to come on this show and to present it to the audience that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, she's a fantastic woman, and it does take strength to come to present her problems, her trials and tribulations as an empath living with a narcissist. So please support us, and The Journey, We Are Not Alone. And you can email us at thejourneywearenotalone@gmail.com. You can send Zena information about interviews and questions or comments that you might have, you might like her to read. And she will pass those on to me as well. So please support us. And we really thank you for it. 516-418-5773. Zena.
Thank you. And just one last thing, based off of Miss Gigi and my relationship, is that I always talk about leading through example and trying to do my best to show everybody that the struggle is still there. The struggle is every day. But this is a perfect example for everybody out there, including my family who's listening. I know this is hard, but this is an example of a support group. This is an example. And we are setting the example on how things can be so traumatizing. But as long as you have a strong support group, you can get through it. So now back to where I was in the story. So I left my house and I went back to my friend's house. My phone was blowing up with calls and messages. He lost control of me and didn't know where my friend lived, so he was completely losing it. He didn't care, and he called me all these names and whatever, blah, blah. But when I did not respond to his threats, he eventually stopped calling and texting. I had cameras at my house at the time, and he unplugged them. However, I do know that he was baiting me, and I did not bite. I was safe, and he couldn't hurt me. My friend was married to the nephew of a very profound and established judge in our county. And a lot of family of his were involved in law enforcement, very high up. I was absolutely safe, or so I thought. Her husband had his brother come over that night with a friend, and she had one of her friends come over. While we all hung out, the boys played in their room, in her stepson's room, and they built a fort that they were going to sleep in, and then the puppy was in there with them, and everybody's happy. As the night started to wind down, my friend was not feeling well. She had been pregnant and lost the baby and was scheduled for a DNC the next day. Emotions were running very high in this house tonight. Later on, I'm not going to lie, I did find out that she lost the baby because she was pushed down a flight of stairs. So she showed me the room that I was going to be staying in, and she went right to sleep after that. I hung out for maybe about a half hour longer, and her husband tried to kiss me, pushed him away, asking him what the hell he was thinking. He responded something stupid like, "You know you want it," or something like that. He came forward at me again, and I backed up. I told him he was married to my friend, and he was crazy if I thought that I could do that to her. Not to mention, I was still in a relationship, but I couldn't even think about that. All I thought about was my friend. So I didn't want to walk past him to get in the house. So I walked all the way around the tables and went into the house and said goodnight. As I walked into the back room and started getting ready for bed, I was just trying to take a couple deep breaths. Okay, that happened. Maybe he wasn't in his right mind. He was upset. And as I said, at that point, I did not know how or why she lost the baby. So as I get into the bed, I heard his cowboy boots walking down the hallway, but I didn't think anything of it because his son and my son were in the room right next to me. I thought he was checking on them. Then my bedroom door opens and he walks in, closing the door behind him. It is totally dark in this room and he comes walking up towards the bed. I immediately sat up. He tells me to calm down and relax. It was going to be fun. I didn't know what to do. I was more than 6 months pregnant. My son was in the next room, and all I could think about is what was going to happen. I was so scared. As he approached the bed, he heard something and turned around to walk towards the door. I had my cell phone in my pocket, and I called that door. I had her in my pocket, and like I said, after Christmas, Stella and I had shared locations, so she knew exactly how to find me. He turned back around and walked towards the bed and started to climb on top of me, telling me how he just wanted to feel this baby inside of me. Those are the only words that I remember him saying. I started to push him off and wiggle, but he just kept telling me to calm down and be quiet, that I was going to wake the kids up. He unzipped his pants and started to try to take mine off. He kept repeating how he couldn't wait to feel this little baby inside of me. At this point, I remember praying that Stella was on her way, pushing him, and I was trying to be so loud so Stella could hear exactly what was happening. He started to grab my wrists and hold them down because I wouldn't stop pushing him. Then he heard another sound, and he stood up just long enough for me to get out of that bed. As I jumped up, he started to circle me like a shark in that room, while all I was doing was trying to keep my distance. I saw the opportunity, and I ran for the door. As I grabbed the doorknob, he grabbed my hand. But as soon as that door opened, he let go, and he zipped up his pants. He told me to calm down and that it was okay. At this point, I'm now walking backwards down the hall, and I'm petrified. I make it into the kitchen, but I didn't realize that at that point I had backed myself into a corner, and now I was stuck with him approaching quickly. I swore I was out of fight and I was out of places to hide. I had backed myself into a corner, and that fight in the bedroom was more than enough for my fat, pregnant ass, let me tell you that. Then, I swear to you, it was like a movie. He got really, really close to me. And I didn't know what to think. And all of a sudden, there was this crack of thunder, and his front door flies open. On the other side was Stella. She looked crazy, and I'll never forget what she was wearing. She had this bright yellow sweatshirt that was like two sizes too big, black baggy sweatpants tucked into camo rain boots, and a purple winter hat on. When the door flew open, he was startled. She came ripping into that house, right into his face, telling him what a piece of shit he really was. She looked at me and asked where the dog and my son were. I pointed to the room, and she told me to go get them, and she told him not to come a step closer to me. Honestly, I thought she was going to punch him right in the face, but I know her biggest concern was getting us out safely. I went and grabbed my son, and she grabbed the dog. Stella got me out. When I went home, my ex was not there. I tried to call him because I needed him. I needed him bad. I called to find out, couldn't even get a hold of him. Stella was standing there in disbelief that she had to leave me alone after all this and couldn't get a hold of him. She had to get back to her kids. So she gave me a hug and promised me I was going to be okay. On her way home that night, she messaged him what happened. And I believe we have a phone call from Doctor. Do we have a phone call, Miss Gigi?
We do. We have a phone call from Dr. Lange.
Hi, Dr. Lange. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
It's been a rough show, but you know what? The more I let it go, the better it will be, and I will be able to heal. So I'm doing okay.
That's the way. That's the way. Too much. You have to let. That's why you need to always do that routinely. Just delete things. Make room. Make space. Yeah. Sorry that I overslept and just woke up and start listening to the show. Again, I really believe in what you're doing, you and Gigi. So I want to support you.
Thank
you. I greatly appreciate your support because, like I said in the beginning of the show, especially today, even just hearing that somebody's out there listening and supporting us and helping, not even me. I'm out there to help other people, but I do need the support as well. And I'm so grateful because I know that you listen all the
time. Absolutely. You are giving away, so you have to bring in. And that's the way it works. We encourage one another. You need encouragement. And unfortunately, that's the way it works. Until people discover you, they don't know what has been available to them. The key is to be persistent, consistent, and stay focused on what you're doing, and things will work. It takes, may I mention something to you?
Yeah.
Coca-Cola, the first year in business, they only sold 25 bottles of Coca-Cola. So.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I'm not saying. Yep.
That's a good fact.
I'm not saying it's going to be the same for you because for each of us, things are unique because of our uniqueness. Key is, again, is to stay focused and thank God for Gigi for you. She thinks very high. She talks very highly about you and thanks also highly about you too. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very grateful for Gigi and I'm very grateful for you tuning in and all of the support and the phone calls that you make. I mean, I can't tell you how much that pushes me through and lets me know that it's going to be okay. However, as we are running out of time, I would love for you to call back next week And I appreciate your phone call and all of your kind words. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are welcome, and I look forward to be with you next week.
Thank you so much. Okay, so
right
now we're going to go to break, and we are going to enjoy a song by Bone Thugs, and it's called Crossroads. Okay, so I would like to end tonight's show by leaving you with a quote from Ilana Van Zandt. She said, "Until you heal the wounds of your past, you are going to bleed. You can bandage the bleeding with food, with alcohol, with drugs, with work, with cigarettes, or with sex. But eventually, it will all ooze through and stain your life. You must find the strength to open the wounds. Stick your hands inside. Pull out the core of the pain that's holding you in your past, the memories, and make peace with them. And that is what I'm doing right now. To move on, you must accept that you will not receive closure for every situation. You must create closure for yourself. Understand what other people do are mostly about current apology, because some people are incapable of apologizing. You cannot change people. The only person who can change them is themselves. Learning from your mistakes makes you incredibly strong. Never give up, because there is no reason to look back. And when there is so much good in front of you, keep going. A rough road leads to the height of greatness. I am still traveling on that road, but I know in my heart one day I will get there. Good night, everybody. Remember, doing things for yourself does not make you selfish. It means you are doing the number one job in life. You are taking care of yourself. You are not okay, then you cannot live freely and fully. This then has its impact on the family as a unit. For people who have children, I promise, if you are not okay, the children will not be okay. Love yourself. This is Lady Z wishing you love, strength, and happiness for your upcoming week. And I believe Miss Gigi just wanted to input something real quick. And Miss Gigi?
Yes, I'm here. I'd like to go ahead and reinterject that information about Miss Ashley Cooper. Miss Ashley Cooper has essential oils that are aromatic, concentrated from plant extracts that are carefully obtained through steam distillation, cold pressing, or resin tapping. She offers essential oils, blends, and oil-infused products with the optimal levels of specific naturally occurring essential oil constituents to maximize their potency. If you'd like to order some oils from Ms. Cooper, you can go to Ashley at Ashley, ashley.love.coop. And also another one to give you the information again about Dr. Lodge, Wise Mind Institute. You can find him on the internet. Dr. Jensen T. Lodge Jr. He's also on LinkedIn, wisemindinstitute.org. You ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. God bless you all. Mask up and stay safe.
Thank you, Ms. Gigi. I appreciate everything from you. Love, so much love.
Same to you, Gina. Zena, I really, really do appreciate you being on the platform. And I wish that
thank you so much.
You have nothing but the best. Strength and courage, young lady. Strength and courage. Stay focused.
Together, everybody, we're like pencils. You can break one, put them all together. It's harder to break. So we all have strength and more strength when we have numbers. Together, we have this. Have a great week. Love you, Miss Gigi. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you too, Lady Z. Thank you, Dr. T.
Bye.
Bye.